Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at the Mint at Kentucky Downs at the Circa Sportsbook in the VSiN studio. And let's say hello now to sports columnist from the Tennessean, Gentry Estes, who is with us. Gentry, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. How was New York? I know you went up there for the Heisman.
It was interesting. It was cold. It was crowded. It was a lot of those things. Weather didn't really cooperate in terms of getting there on time or getting back on time. But if you want to go to New York this time of year, you're going to be alongside a lot of other people who want to do it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a Heisman voter or no?
I'm not. I used to be. They do it by state.
Okay.
So I have done it previously at other states. In fact, in Georgia, I used to be the one who distributed the votes. But I do not have a vote in Tennessee. I've not had one since I've been here.
So, I mean, look, we opened the show talking about this. I wasn't incredibly surprised by the outcome of Mendoza winning. I was a little surprised at how, you know, the vote fell, and that I felt that ones that did not vote for Diego Pavia in any fashion, didn't have him on the ballot at all, clearly had some sort of bias and weren't paying attention. So I was a little irritated by that. But then how Diego reacted in the social media posts, I was very disappointed because he did not handle it with class. And I think that's something he's going to have to answer for a while. What were kind of your thoughts on everything that transpired?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It was it was very unfortunate, and it is very unfortunate that we're having to talk about this after a weekend that I think really was phenomenal for Vanderbilt football up until that point. And, you know, having been there, I think everybody kind of knew Mendoza was going to win. I mean, the odds were pretty lopsided, and most years this thing is anticlimactic by the time it does happen, and I do think that was kind of the case this time. But we had all day Friday to kind of spend some time with Diego and hear what he had to say. And, you know, I felt like he handled the whole situation really well, Friday and Saturday. You know, and I'm sitting here on Friday, and even on Friday, he has an answer to a question that he explains that he doesn't always, that it bothers him sometimes that he comes off as cocky or arrogant, that he's always been his own biggest cheerleader. And he's felt like he's had to be that, you know, with his journey coming from a JUCO walk-on. And, you know, and I think that was a really good answer. I think that was a message that really did resonate with some people who didn't think very highly of his attitude and his swagger and how he's always kind of approached things. Friday, I also talked to Clark Lee, who talks about how much Diego has matured this season on and off the field, and how a lot of that, you know, how some of how he's matured just in life and as a person in general affected his play. He was a much better quarterback this year. It's all a very positive vibe for Vanderbilt, for Diego, you know, and then he has that social media post, and it just changes all of it. And it's really unfortunate because I think when he does that, it gives everyone out there who didn't like him or was against him or, you know, was turned off by a lot of how he acted or what he said, it gave them the perfect opportunity to point and go, yep, see, that's who he is.
Yep.
And whether or not that's really true, it doesn't really matter as much anymore because it's getting really hard to argue against it.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessean. Gentry, Friday and Saturday before the ceremony, did you get to talk to other writers from around the country? Did they ask you about Pavia? Did you have discussions with other writers? Because I'm sure those who didn't cover him are curious about, look, what's he been like? What's all this like for Vanderbilt and everything? Do you have those discussions with others?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there was some curiosity about Pavia, and not just, you know, I think he's an interesting personality. I mean, obviously there's a lot to unpack there and kind of it's been that way all along, but also the curiosity of having Vanderbilt there. Vanderbilt has never even sniffed this award. Like, you go back, I mean, I went back through all the records and they're the top 10 voting. There wasn't even a Vanderbilt player listed. You know, you go back to 1951, you had top 10 and Vanderbilt players never even got close. So there was no tradition with this award, and to see Vanderbilt as well as Indiana being kind of the two schools that were up for this, I think was a real novelty to some of the people who've been covering this for a long time. But for those who did talk to Diego and get to know him, I think he came off well. at the media event. I do. I think he came off well during the Heisman ceremony. I think this whole weekend would have been digested a lot differently for him had he not had just a silly post. And just, you know, you can say, this is my team, you know, we're family, I'm having a good time with my team. There's so many ways you can approach that without saying F all the voters. It just comes off horribly. Everyone's looking at that moment, and they're going to make their mind up off that.
Did you get to spend any time with him after the ceremony Saturday evening?
Did not. The way it works is the media is not on site for the actual event. Like what you saw on television, the media isn't there. It's actually a pretty small TV set kind of set up there. So they don't have a lot of, you know, the media was off site, other people. So what happens is afterwards, Fernando Mendoza, Kurt Cignetti, they came back and met with the media, but they if you didn't win, they kind of turn you loose. So I think I didn't spend any time with him afterwards. I think, you know, he had teammates there, a lot of friends, family. I mean, they all clearly went out and were having a good time. But it would have been nice if just one of those people who were with him had been like, hey, maybe you don't post that.
Right. Where did you watch the award ceremony from that Sbarro there in Times Square?
We weren't far from Times Square. I stayed near Times Square. I walked through it, coming and going there for a couple of days. And it, like I say, a lot going on, you know, it's an interesting place to have that event. And, you know, like you understand, you know, Diego afterwards, he's going out in New York. He's having a good time. And I think he's a competitive guy. He wanted to win.
I get that. Look, being upset, I understand all that with him being upset. But as you mentioned, the post and everything, I'm just curious what his football coach thought about afterwards. We'll never get his thoughts. I understand that. But we love Clark Lee, and he's a competitor. But, man, I think Clark's got to be like, man, you probably shouldn't have done that, Diego. And how do you think the apology came about, Gentry, after all this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really don't know. Now, I will say my first thought was who I felt sorry for in all this were the people like Clark Lee. I think it was sad for Vanderbilt football that this whole weekend now kind of gets painted in this way, and when it really was a very positive thing. I mean, you know, Friday I'm writing about kind of Pavia's story and how, you know, maybe he's a little misunderstood, and then Saturday you're writing about how wonderful this was for Vanderbilt, and then Sunday the tone changes almost, you know, dramatically just off one post, you know, and the responses you're getting. And you know what it does is it, you got Clark on Friday sitting there making a very passionate case for Diego and how mature he's been and how much he's meant to the program. And you know, it's always kind of been the case that with Diego, he comes off a certain way to outsiders, but inside Vanderbilt program, but also the university, there's always been a strong sense to me of y'all don't know him the way we do. You know what I mean? And I feel like those who have been defending him in such a way, this was a real punch in the stomach. Had to be a real punch in the stomach for them.
Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessean. Before we let you go, I want to ask you a little bit on the Titans with how they've played lately. And I mean, I know they lost 37-24 yesterday in San Francisco to a better team, but I mean, they still put up 24 points. We're seeing, you know, we saw a win last week. We're seeing some of these young guys start to make an impact, whether it's, you know, Cam Ward's continued journey and development. Cedric Gray, I think he's played well on defense. Gunnar Helm on offense. I mean, is that giving you a little bit of hope of if they bring in the right coaching staff and then can, you know, tweak the roster with the draft this year and free agency, that maybe this thing can be fixed sooner rather than later?
Yeah, you know, all right, full disclosure, Chase, with everything that was going on, I was delayed getting back yesterday. I have gone back to kind of go over the game, but this was really one of the first times I can remember since I've been here that I just didn't watch the Titans game.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't able to do it. I kind of went back and watched it. You know, I kind of thought for a while now, though, yeah, you look at that team, it's always been interesting to me that whenever you see who's kind of the spokespeople for the team, who does the media go to, who's getting to kind of set the tone for the message. And it's been noticeable to me over the course of this season that when you really look around at who's doing that, It's young players. It's rookies. That's rare for an NFL team. And I feel like that for – on one hand, it's alarming for where they are right now, but I think, you know, nobody's surprised by that anymore. But I think it is encouraging for the future because I do feel like you have a group of younger players, and you mentioned several of them, who I feel like are going to set the tone and the culture for this organization moving forward. Now, they need better players, and I don't think anybody would argue that. They're going to have to keep building to that. They're going to have to keep – they must keep drafting. I think they drafted pretty well this last year. I think we're seeing that. Got to keep doing that. Got to make much better decisions in free agency on how you're spending your money. I mean, there's so many things they still need to do to get back to being a good team. But I do feel as though the younger players they have give them a better foundation than what they had at this point a year ago, where you kind of looked around the locker room and there just wasn't a leader at all.
I would agree with you on that, and you get a pass for not watching live. That's totally okay. We'll let it slide. Gentry, thanks as always, and welcome back.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes, sports columnist for the Tennessean, joining us here on the program. We will get into the Titans coming up next as they fall yesterday 37-24 in San Francisco. We'll do that live from Circus Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. It's Chasing McJoe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game.